You're listening to the Product Podcast from Product School, featuring the best product leaders from Silicon Valley and beyond. If you're an aspiring product manager looking for your first PM role, or an experienced PM looking to level up your skills and advance your career, visit productschool.com to learn about our certifications and how we'll get you there. Our guest today will be discussing a very important and extensive topic, finding impact-focused roles. Stay tuned to hear from Amazon's Arya Tommy and Soumya Vemuri, along with Netflix's Amiya Joshi, on what it takes to bridge the gap and start making a difference.
So, hey everybody, welcome to today's panel discussion. It's about finding impact-focused roles. I just wanna give a quick introduction. First, my name is Arya Tommy. I'm a product professional. I have almost 15 years of experience in a few different industries, from healthcare software to insurtech, banking, and I'm currently at Amazon, where I lead a team of product managers. So now I'll introduce our two panelists. So first we have Soumya. Soumya also works for Amazon, and she builds Amazon's next cool product, essentially. So in this case, they've just released a contactless sleep tracker called the Halo Rise, which is cool. So welcome, Soumya. We also have Amiya. Amiya works for Netflix. He's another seasoned product manager, and he's designing product strategy essentially for the studios that use Netflix to create feature-length films and TV shows. So I think we have a really awesome panel. It's a bit intimate, but really great seasoned product managers. So I'm really excited. So yeah, let's get started. So this is a pretty big topic, finding impact-focused roles. And to that end, I think it's open to a lot of interpretation. So this conversation can go a lot of different ways. So I think what I'll do is I'll kick off with a few bigger questions, and then hopefully at the end, we will have some time for some Q&A from whoever is watching. So just FYI, if you have a question, you can leave it in the comments section. I'll be paying attention to those, and then we can get to those later. Okay, so to begin, the big question, and I'm gonna let Soumya kick this one off. What is an impact-focused role? So what does this mean to you? And do you maybe have a couple of examples based on your experience?
Yep, sure. And I guess like there's multiple different ways to think about impact. And I think the way it's characterized, it's a bit broad, right? So if we unpack that a little bit to really understand what is impact and what is an impact-focused role, I think there's two different lenses, you know, we could think about it. One, you know, obviously, if you're in the product space, you want to be launching products and experiences that have, you know, that you're able to measure the impact of, right? Like, hey, you launch X feature and there's a Y% improvement in a specific metric. That's the measurability aspect of, you know, any role, right? What I think is the really other cool lens to think about is where you're also making this impact, right? The space. And if you're really passionate about that space, I think it helps teams stay motivated for long, even product managers, right? You have to endure through the whole PDP lifecycle. So when you really think about like impact-focused role and you put two and two together, that's where, you know, you have, you know, a role that you might be already in or you're really chasing after, where you're going to launch products and experiences that will improve a specific metric, which is core to that space, right? So that's how I'd like to think about it. And I can, you know, quickly share a personal example of mine. I'm like super interested in health tech space, right? And I'm very passionate about launching products and experiences that help customers live basically healthier lives, right? So like you know, Arya mentioned, my team and I, we were working on this product called Halo Rise for a really long time. And the one metric we wanted to improve was help customers sleep better, right? Make changes to their sleep patterns so that they have a healthier life, right? And, you know, it kind of like connects into that broader vision of what am I really passionate about, and am I launching products and experiences that help improve that particular space in a very measurable way. That's impact to me, but you know, the impact could be very different to someone else. Like I have, for example, a peer of mine at Amazon. She's very passionate about sustainability space, right? So for her, impact is launching products and experiences, or really even processes, right, that reduce carbon footprint, right? So the way you measure and what you measure changes, and it kind of can be tailored to, different people. But that's how I would think about, impact-focused roles when I think about what I want to do next.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, because everybody has a totally different interest and different passion. For example, what do you think, Amaya? What does it mean to you to have an impact-focused role?
I'm kind of going to piggyback off of what Soumya said. I think impact is a very large umbrella. There's the impact that you can have as the transactions of the product, how many users are using it, how many users are adopting it, the monetization of it. There's tons of different lenses to look for. And the other side of the impact, which is a little bit more upstream, is what is the problem that you're trying to solve and the corresponding matrix that you're trying to measure. And I think that's one of the very interesting parts of being a product manager, is to drive to that problem specificity based on the ambiguity of the business. That is personally what I enjoy the most, which is when you look at a business and when you look at a stakeholder, we all as humans are very solution-centric behavioral animals, and we get attracted to solutions first than the problem it's trying to solve. And trying to drive to that ambiguity back to define the problem, then to define the impact, then to have a baseline, and then to actually build a product to measure against that baseline. That's how typically I would look at an impact-based role for myself.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We, as product managers, I think this is probably the perfect topic for any of us who like to deal with ambiguity, because this is a pretty ambiguous topic. It's pretty personal. And I guess to that end, Somi and I were chatting briefly about how people can bridge the gap, where you are right now as a product manager versus where you want to be, versus this kind of impactful role that you want to have. Soumya, do you have any thoughts on maybe how you can bridge that gap, how you can get from point A to point B for aspiring
Wow. That's an intense question for sure. I think like there's honestly like very many different ways you or anyone can approach it. And one way that worked for me, like, just from my personal experience from a non-product background, getting into product and finding the role that I thought was impactful for me, right? This is going to be like a most known answer, but it's really networking, right? Like I used to reach out to so many different folks in, the product school forum, or even within Amazon. And then I was at Dell, people that were doing roles that I wanted to get into, right? And chatting up, like informal networking, formal networking events. What that does is, it kind of like helps you identify not just what you might really be good at, right? But also like the gaps, right? You're in a point A and you figure out, okay, I want to do this, right? But then getting to there's more often than not, right? You have a bunch of things that you need to fill up in terms of skill set, or you are in a completely different industry. How do you learn about a new industry and so on and so forth? Like just from my personal experience, when I started chatting up with, people, product managers that were in Apple, right? Because I was into health and fitness space, and even Fitbit and Garmin, you kind of like come up with a small list of, skill sets that you think, hey, these guys have, or girls have, these four skill sets, and I want to be able to, acquire these skills so that I'm better positioned to get this job when, the opportunity is there. And for me, when, the way I went about it, I identified that, if you want to be in health tech space, you should have hardware product management experience, right? You should also have good sense of, product sense, basically. And that's where I guess like it goes back to impact. So you identify those gaps, and there's different mechanisms or ways you can try to bridge that skill set wherever you are. And one such, thing that worked for me was I wanted to get hardware product management experience, and I was at Dell, which was not doing much in the health tech space, but we had a lot of, at that time, Dell had a lot of hardware products. So I quickly made that, you know, pivot internally, and I said, this is one skill set I'm going to learn in this specific role that will help me get to point B, right? So I would, like, in summary, say networking with people and identifying what are the gaps between where you are and where you want to go. And, you know, depending on that list, there's many different ways that, you know, one could take and to basically get to those skill sets and be better positioned for that role.
Yeah, for sure. And networking can be difficult, especially for any introverts. But yeah, I think that's definitely a great way to go about it. What do you think, Amaya? Any other thoughts on this?
Plenty, actually. I know we have limited time. What I would say, though, is plus one towards some asset. I think networking is crucial, but I get it. It's not for everyone. What I would say, though, is that if the one thing that we all can hedge on is curiosity, and curiosity not just about hey, what's that next product that I'm getting to use, but also learning more about, like, what problems is this something that I'm trying to use really solving for. There's this very interesting speech from Steve Jobs, if you all have seen it before, in one of the Stanford commencement speeches, where he talks about finding your calling. And I'm making it sound very philosophical, that it should be, but he actually makes some really good points about, unless you're curious, you'll never know what you're passionate about. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know. I don't. Of course I don't. But I think that allows us to drive a little bit of clarity around what is it that drives us, what is it that we want to do, and what is it that we can make an impact at. And I think that is where we can produce the best value and produce some of our best work. Whether we achieve that by networking, whether we achieve that by being curious and just trying different things, I think that's for all of us to figure out. But one thing that I want to say here is, and this is something that helped me tremendously in my early parts of my career, was leaning in on other professionals in the product space, because we're talking about product management, or in general, any experience of life that helps you tremendously, because sometimes we don't know what we don't know. So we don't know how to bridge that gap. But leaning in on others, asking them what they did, learning from their experiences, has helped me grow tremendously. And one last thing that I would mention is, this is something one of my managers mentioned to me many moons ago. And he said, whether you are looking for a job or not, interview, because that's when you know what is the industry looking for, where do you stand, what are your interests, what are industry strengths, and then you can figure out what's the way for you to go. And that is actually very true, that whether you're looking for a job or not, it's great to test yourself against what the market is thinking about, what the industry is thinking about, and then go from there.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I want to talk a little bit about interviewing and hiring, but also I wanted to ask you, Amaya, how would you say that someone who may not be in their most impactful dream role yet, how could they create impact? How could they measure impact of what they're already working on? Are there any mechanisms, anything you would suggest?
So is just a clarified question. Is this from a lens of somebody who's already in a product role, or somebody who's not in a product role but trying to get to one?
Someone who's already in a product role, but, you know, is looking for something that's more impactful, that's more in line with their passions and what's impactful to them. You know, so sort of bridging the gap between when they might be finding a role to interview for, how can they find impact in their current role?
That's a good question. There are a couple of different ways they could go about. If there are, so let's take an example where they're not in that role, but they do see opportunities around either within their organization or outside their organization. And there are a couple of ways to go about it. You can either see an opportunity, you know that, hey, this is something I want to do, I feel really passionate about, and go pursue that. But if not, and if this is something that you have access to, or this is within your organization, there is no harm in going and asking for, hey, can I just help here? Can I do something? Can I try something out? I have seldomly found other PMs to decline help when they get some, because there's always more to do. And we all are smiling, so we all get related. But I think what that does is, especially when somebody does not have a lot of experience or somebody does not know their way around, can give them a little bit of experience around what it takes to get into that problem space, identify where they could have impact, and then sort of explore that and over time make that leap without without that risk factor. That could be one opportunity. The other opportunity could be if it's not within your organization, there are tons of ways where you could go to product forums, you could go to meetups, you could go to other organizations and look for opportunities. The one underlying factor within all of this is having the documented understanding of, hey, this is what I want to do, and here's how I am thinking the success matrix and success definition to be, and then getting that socialized with folks who are going to be impacted by that or who are going to avail that benefit, to say, here's what I'm thinking of doing, and here's the impact that I'm trying to have. Am I going in the right direction? Because sometimes you might not, but it's better to get checked early enough in that product development lifecycle and then sort of recalibrate yourself. So there are a couple of different ways we could go about, but happy to answer any other questions on that.
Yeah, so basically just being curious and not being afraid to essentially ask to learn more.
Yeah.
I would say that. Soumya, how have you experienced this? Because I know you weren't always in your dream role. How are you bringing impact?
Well, it's tough to answer that question, but plus one to everything Amiya said, right? And I think even in, if you're in a specific role, for me, what always helped is, hey, I'm in this role, I'm going to do my best in this role, and I'm going to make sure I acquire ABC skill sets, right, or experiences out of this role that is going to help me get to, my dream role, right? So, like I said, I think one example for my own personal experience that really worked well for me was when I didn't have any knowledge of the health tech space, right? But obviously, if you want to be a product manager in new product space for Amazon in health tech, you really need to, have that product sense, right? You need to know which particular product or experience is going to have that intended impact. And for that, piggybacking again a little bit on what Amiya said, product sense kind of for me at that time just broke into two things, right? I need to be able to identify what is a meaningful problem, right? And then a solution that is innovative for that problem, right? Now, if you put all of these things together, it might sound like, a complex cocktail, but it really wasn't, right? Back at, when I was at Dell and I didn't have, access to this information or this knowledge, the way I would go about it is, honestly, I just purchased a bunch of, health tech products that I thought were cool at that time. Like I got Fitbit, Garmin, and I had my sister buy an Apple Watch. And if you look at the interactions people are having with these different devices, right, and you deconstruct those interactions, you'll be able to learn a lot more than, you think you would get. I mean, don't get me wrong, right? But you don't really need to sit through long lectures or, monologues. You can really, experience how people are interacting with different products, and there's tons of learning there. And that, that's one thing that really worked for me. And before I got into this space, I knew a bunch about, what is working and what needs a lot of improvement, right? And that is something that you can just do by yourself by being curious, right? Again, that's kind of like connecting to what Amiya said. You have to, if you're curious, right, you'll definitely find ways to bridge the gaps. And networking is definitely one, but the other arm is, just try those products and interactions and or talk to people who are, already having, a bunch of issues with the products. If you go through online reviews, you learn a lot more about, a particular space and how different companies are approaching that problem. So that helps. And then the other part is the innovation, right? Like, okay, you identified what is not working, but you, as a product manager, you're also a problem solver. So how do you approach that? that's when, really trying to stay abreast of latest advancements in technology, innovation, subscribing to different forums, just to get a sense of, okay, what is the latest in contactless space or so on and so forth, right? So that's kind of like what worked for me in the past, right? Be curious, do your own research, and then, you'll start picking up the pieces and eventually you'll get to a point where you'll be like, yep, I know enough and I can go for it.
Yeah, that's really well said. I think the main thing that I'm hearing from both of you is curiosity and learning and being willing to go out and test things yourself. And of course, having that passion for innovation. So, well, I guess going to that, for any product manager who might have found this role that they really want, what do you think are qualities that you're going to make them stand out? I mean, obviously being curious and having a passion or being innovative. What other qualities? And who would like to take this? Aman?
I can jump in. I want to sort of talk a little bit about this notion of a product manager needs to know how a product is built, because I'm kind of arrive at the quality that a PM should have. But I think one of the important qualities that a PM should have, and I think it's an ongoing work even for myself, is sort of stepping away from, hey, I need to figure this out, to let me look at the right places to see what has been done previously to solve this problem, and can I leverage that? Because sometimes our tendencies are, and this is something I used to do really in my career, is sometimes our tendencies are to jump at the problem and start building a solution because, hey, here's something I need to build. But there's a lot of information out there that can actually get you to your desired end state very, very quickly. We just need to be correctly data informed to leverage what we know and to work on what we don't know. And it's very underrated, but highly, highly valuable skill in a PM, which is how can we leverage the work that has previously happened and at the same time make it better, maybe a better experience, maybe a better solution, maybe a faster solution, whatever that is, to get the user to their desired end state. Because there's tons of information out there. There's tons of knowledge out there. And we just need to, the hardest part is to weed through that and get to the right quality content really, really quickly. And as a PM, I continuously practice that. Even within my own job, I am starting to shift that narrative a little bit to go, if a problem comes to me, all right, let's look around if any work has happened around this before we go and solve it and build something completely from the ground up. It's easier said than done. I'll be very honest and say that. But what that does is what it allows us to learn from other people's knowledge and other people's learnings, but two, also get to the desired state faster. So I would say that the ability to look at data and ability to be data informed, which is slightly different than being data driven, is very crucial for a product manager.
Yeah, data is huge. And actually, I'm seeing data in the comments now. We have a couple of questions from the same person, but I guess who would like to take this? Because it's a very good question. There are a lot of people who are in software development and they want to make the leap over into product ownership or product management, especially, having an interest in data and data analysis. How do you think that can match up and that can eventually lead to a role in product? I know that's kind of also a big question and we only have about 6 minutes left, but...
I need to catch up on the questions. I saw my few. Go ahead. I'm reading through the comments right now.
Yeah, sure. I can share my experience. I mean, obviously, the advice that I'm going to share is not exactly same as the experience as the comment, but I think the approach fits. To be very honest, I did make the leap into product management from product marketing, and previous to that, I was doing statistical modeling. Right, so. But I think one of the things that really helped me make that career switch at each point of time is really understanding what is that one thing that I can improve, right? I think the core of product management is you are wanting, you're a problem solver, right? You have to either, you know, launch the next big thing, or you don't have to. And when you don't have to, you're making these atomic improvements to existing experiences. So for example, if you're in, you know, business intelligence or data or statistical space, you can think about what's the current process, right? Of, for example, delivering a particular dashboard, right? Or a particular report, weekly report. How can I streamline this process? How can I make it faster, bigger, better, faster? And, you know, that's where you start thinking about like, okay, what are the requirements, right? How can I change the back end? How can I think about the front end? And who is my customer? Do they require this dashboard faster, right? Am I giving them the right insights, right? If you start thinking about it from that lens and approach, say, one particular project that you're already working on and say, I'm going to make this particular improvement by tweaking the process or the dashboard or a specific piece of something that I'm already working on in a way that is very close to how product managers would approach it, I think you can use that as your biggest ammunition, right? When you interview, you say, hey, I'm already a product manager. I don't have the title, but, you know, I've done ABC things that, you know, I work backwards from customer, or, you know, thought about the customer problem, why it was important that the frequency of a specific report had to be faster. And here's what I did, right? And I worked with, you know, say a couple of partners from, you know, the data engineering side all the way to say maybe a product manager or a consultant that's consuming this, you know, the data or report. So I think like even if you're in a specific role that has not got nothing to do or very little to do with product management, you can develop that skill set. And when you actually want to make that switch, use that as a really strong story. And another thing is, you know, you also want to make sure you have that network, right? You want to let people know that you are serious about pursuing a product management career, and you have these, you know, networking conversations, formal or informal, and let them know. And oftentimes I found it's easy to make that switch within the company from a, you know, non-product role to a product role, and then get into like, you know, a specific company, which is maybe your dream company for a specific product role. Within an organization, if you already have credibility, making that switch into product or from product to tech, I think it's a bit easy. So those are, you know, my two pieces of advice. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, I'd say TLDR, just start being a product manager in your current role. Be curious, start thinking about improvements, start thinking about it from a problem perspective and a problem statement and how you can solve it. And actually, I think that really ties into another good question that we just got, just talking about innovation and how innovation is such a buzzword for PMs. You know, does it have to be innovative to be impactful? Do you have to be innovative to be a good PM? Who wants to take this one? Because that's a fun one too.
I'll take this one. I think we attribute a lot of weight to the word innovation. And I think one of the duties that I see as a product manager is that we ground the expectations of everybody who's a stakeholder in that product about where that next shift is going to come from the product. How is the work that we are doing and the investments that we are doing going to benefit the user? Is it a monumental shift because we're doing something 0 to 1, or is it a incremental shift because we have a stable product but we are now focusing on specific gaps within that product? We don't always have to invent the next iPhone. We cannot. We won't. That's not how innovation works. But I think innovation for me is questioning the ambiguity and driving clarity into the problem and hence into the solution. That is what a product manager should always bring to the table. Whether that means, again, to my earlier point, whether that means a monumental shift or an incremental shift, that's okay. And that can be aligned on with your stakeholders. But if you're saying that, hey, as a product manager, I need to be coming up with this unicorn idea every single month, I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's how a PM should look at their job.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we have about 10 seconds left before this discussion's over. This has been a fantastic discussion. Sorry if we couldn't get to all of the thoughts and questions, but just first of all, want to thank you two panelists for some really awesome and insightful answers for a really ambiguous topic in itself. And I hope that anybody else who was watching has gained some good insight and some good advice. So thank you, everybody. And I had a lot of fun. So everyone have a good Thursday or Friday.
Friday. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. This was amazing. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Taking the time to write just a few sentences about what you love most about the show will help us improve it and reach even more product people around the world. And when you're done, why not reward yourself with some free product management content and resources over at productschool.com? Until next time, stay product-led.